How has everyone been? Wow, this year's gone by real fast and slow all at the same time. We're all in this together. And finally, Pete and I could record a podcast together since everything's kind of letting a little loose now. You can sit 6 feet apart. So we decided to, since we can't go to shows, we both watched Cobra Kai, the series, loved it. Decided to do our opinion for a podcast on it and hope you enjoy it. Thanks for joining us. And hopefully we can keep you entertained with our opinions of Cobra Kai and stay through to the end and hear about what some of the local musicians in San Diego are going to be coming up with. And please support local music. Welcome, everyone, to the Local Treble Clef. I am Maylee.
I am Pete.
And we are going to talk about the Cobra Kai series today. And man, have we missed doing our podcast. I mean, you know, we normally do the local bands, the music, the venues and stuff, but all that shut down right now. And the only thing that kind of kept us going through this pandemic was Cobra Kai coming out.
Yeah, I think it is. It was definitely made for our age group. I really do.
Yeah.
And it's like one, it just hit a lot of strings of, oh, wow, they bring that nostalgia with it, with a really good.
Oh, for sure. And I feel like, and I got like some of the listener feedback for the series, and there's, you know, I wanted to see the good and bad because there's some people that are like, this series is stupid. But the people who like the series. And I just, yeah, I watched it and binged it like I think everyone else. And at the takeaway, I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so invested. I love it. I love how they did this. So we just kind of decided we're fans and we want to do a show on it.
Talk about it. Yeah, because it's one it keeps in your mind. It's like, it's been a while since I watched something. What I continue to think about after I watched it.
Yeah.
It just, a lot of stuff you watch just kind of goes in one, and a couple days later after you binged it, you never think about it again.
Right. And so for you guys, the listeners, Pete and I went back and watched the original Karate Kid. So we could kind of correlate and see, you know, fresh off of watching Cobra Kai and then watching The Karate Kid again. And so we have some good insights for you. And and anyone could DM us on our Instagram if you have some feedback for the show and if you want to talk about Cobra Kai. We can mention it on our next show as well. So we'll go ahead and get started. And for those of you who have not watched Cobra Kai, highly recommend it. And it's pretty much about decades after the 1984 All Valley Karate Tournament. The middle-aged Daniel LaRusso and Johnny Lawrence find themselves martial arts rivals again. So and now they're like, what, in their 50s? I would think. 1984, they're like in high school. Yeah. So it's
35 years. So they're, yeah, 40s, mid-40s.
Yeah.
Because, well, there had been 18, 17.
Yeah.
Because it was seniors. They were seniors in the first film.
So definitely middle-aged, and they have kids, you know. So now it's like their lives now, which I thought was a great way to do this, because that was one of the writing things that I thought was brilliant, is to bring it to where they are now. It's like closure.
I have been an avid reader and watcher. This is something I've always wanted. I want to see characters after I leave them. I get that way when I read books. It's like you get the ending of the book. It's like, what happens to these guys?
Right.
I invested all this time with these people and they disappear. And this did it. And I always thought, like, the Addams Family movie. I love the movies. I think they did a great job from the original series. But in my head, I'm like, I want to see Wednesday as an adult.
Yeah, right.
Or I want to see Pugsley as adult. Maybe Wednesday turned into like a Stepford wife and she has blonde hair.
And she's pastel normal. Pink shirt.
And Pugsley's the weird one. And her weird family comes and visits her. You know, that's something I've always wanted to see. I wanted somebody to take these characters that we loved and show them what happened to him.
Yeah.
And that's what this does.
It does. And I have a listener quote that kind of brings that too, because it was like the 90210 reboot. You know, that's what everyone I feel like wanted for the 90210. And she said that too bad 90210 didn't take the same direction. And I totally agree with that because, you know, we wanted, because 90210 is kind of like our generational thing too. And we wanted to see where everyone ended up and they just didn't do it that way. And I think that they could have been successful if they would have done it the way that Cobra Kai did it. I mean, obviously you got different producers and direction and writers and stuff like that. But, yeah, so the Cobra Kai, man, I just, so, okay, now I messed up my show notes. Oh, here they go. So the development with the writers, what I've researched is that they had the show idea, 10 half-hour episodes, and it's written and produced by Josh Heel, John Hurwitz, and Hayden Schlossberg. And so they tried to originally see who would pick it up, and no one was willing to really pick it up. And YouTube gave them the source. So, and I mean, Sony Pictures is in association with it, because when you do watch it, it shows that Sony, and so that's kind of a big name to back it up. And so they released it in 2018 on YouTube Premium, and the second season was in April of 2019. And then YouTube did not want to renew them for a third season, so they took the series to somewhere else, and that's when Netflix just recently picked it up, and they're going to spot them for the third season.
YouTube Premium was kind of a failure, I think, in a lot of ways. I mean, they want to push and did what Prime was doing and everybody else with these series. And
yeah, like the original type of series.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know that was their flagship because they advertised the hell out of Cobra Kai when it first came out.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody really wanted the YouTube Prime or the YouTube Red.
Right.
And
yeah, and it just wasn't catching on.
Nobody wants to watch movies on YouTube. Watch stupid videos.
Because you could watch a lot of movies for free on YouTube normally. So I think people just weren't buying into paying for the streaming of it, like with the original series. So, yeah. So unfortunately, I mean, fortunately and unfortunately, it happened that way. So now I feel like there's more people that have viewed Cobra Kai now because it has been out for 2 years, 2-3 years now. And so now it's like a big hype. It's kind of like how Tiger King, it's like another Tiger King type of deal where everyone's really, you know, into this thing. And so with the filming, I don't know if everyone realized, I mean, I didn't realize it, but they filmed in Atlanta, Georgia, most of, and then they have their little shots from the valley in Reseda, like the apartments and the, you know, some of those scenes to bring it back to the original. But you were saying how, and I didn't realize that Atlanta was such a huge film community now.
Yeah, a lot of movies like The Walking Dead is, I think, really kind of made that area. And a lot of TV shows are filmed out of.
Yeah. So they obviously have built a studio there to film shows.
Yeah, so. I think Georgia's really tried to push their economy with the filming industry. They give a lot of good perks for people to film there. And
yeah,
it's not as expensive overall.
Right. That's, I think, one of the huge things is why the film industry does take it outside of Hollywood, because of the fees, the taxes, all that stuff. The entertainment taxes is high, I think, in California.
Even filming in those areas like Encino, they would have to pay money to shut down those roads and everything
yeah,
else.
That's right. That is true, because when I lived in L.A., just going for walks around or driving around. Yeah. There's so many places shut down and you just see trailers of film industries in the wardrobe trailer, you know, all that stuff. It's all blocked off and you're like, dang it, trying to get to work and have to make a detour. And then they have their, the flyers taped everywhere to what, you know, the film, so people know where to go that are working, but they don't actually put the real name of what they're recording, you know, so people can't just be like, oh my gosh, Superman's being made over there. And, you know, they go and some loop-de-loops come around. But yeah, so.
I had that in San Diego with one of my apartments when I lived closer to downtown.
Oh, really?
The apartment below mine, they filmed an episode of The Invisible Man when that was on, I think it was A&E or something back in the day, the old one.
Oh.
And they had the whole thing locked off. Unfortunately, nobody put a poster on my door. It's like I come home my apartment, like my whole street's blocked off. And there's all these people.
And they're like, sir, you can't walk. You're like, I live here.
Right.
You have to let me in. So the first two seasons of Cobra Kai, they're like, they've been praised by fans and critics. And it's an extension of the Karate Kid film franchise. So you have, you know, it follows Daniel LaRusso and Johnny Lawrence as they rekindle their rivalry. And it says the show's success is due not to only a committed cast, but also the strong writing from the series creators, which, yeah, I feel like the writing definitely. At first I thought when I did watch it because, you know, everyone does say it's cheesy. Like it's, you get a cheesy feel from it. And at first I was like, okay, well, mostly everyone came back because they're all D-list celebrities and they couldn't afford, you know, that's why I'm like thinking they didn't have Elizabeth Shue on because she's an A-list celebrity. They probably couldn't afford her. I don't know. I really don't know what the whole behind the scenes work, you know, with the actors and stuff like that. But the more that I've read about it, it's the people did want to come back, except for Elizabeth Shue. She's kind of like, I don't know, but maybe because it's gotten such big notoriety, she might come back for the third season. Because she's kind of, what I've read is that she's on the fence. It's like at first, I think, you know, when it's all brand new, she probably was like, well, this is some YouTube show. Why am I going to be doing this type of deal? But obviously the other actors, they don't have big, big careers. So they're like, well, yes.
The guy who plays Daniel, I mean, he's continued to work. I mean, he just had that big Ralph Macchio series. He's always continued to work through the whole thing. Yeah. But you're right. He never did
anything like, I think, really huge. My cousin
Vinny would have been his next big film after The Karate Kid.
Okay.
That got good
reviews
and stuff. But after that film, he never like stopped in Hollywood.
Yeah,
and he went from that, and then he did a couple TV series, and he did like a HBO series, a couple of the HBO series he was on.
Oh, so Ralph Macchio did get pretty, okay.
But you're right. He's one of those characters.
Yeah.
But he always looks young. He looks exactly the same as he was in Karate Kid.
You know, when I was watching Karate Kid all over again, I was like, because he's with Allie.
Right.
And I'm like, he looks like he's, because there's a kissing scene. I'm like, he looks like he's 12 and she looks like a mom. Like it totally, because now as an adult, when you watch it, it's like, oh my God, he's so little and such a kid and like so skinny.
But ironic, it was like, I would have to look up how old he was, but he was like 18 or 20 when he filmed that film.
That is so crazy.
And I guess I was that way. I always looked super young for my age. I see pictures of me back in my mid-30s or even my mid-20s.
Uh-huh.
I look like I was 14. I'm like, how did anybody ever let me into a bar?
They're like, yeah, this is a fake ID. I'm going to need you to tell me your birthday. Right. You're like on, you got it right away. And they're like, no, okay, well, sign your signature. And it's like perfect. They're like, I'm not sure this is really you, sir. So, what I really liked is that they followed a really good formula of the writing style where they, flipped the script. So in The Karate Kid, we have it from Daniel's whole viewpoint, you know, he's the one that moves to the town. He's the outcast, the underdog, all that stuff. And so it's mostly from his point of view. And then they bring Cobra Kai in and it's from Johnny's point of view. And so you kind of never really thought of it in the way I feel like that Johnny brings up his memories. You know, there's always like his side, you know, the other person's side, the other person's side, and the truth in the middle.
Right. No, I think the writing was absolutely incredible. And
right.
The cheesiness was 80s cheesy.
Yes.
It followed the same cheesiness Karate Kid had. So I can understand people complaining about the cheeses, but that's how all the films were in the 80s.
That's true.
And it had to fit that same feel that the original films
right.
had. Right,
which is why I think that they're continuing to have such success with fans, because they do leave it very cheesy 80s. Right. And I love how every beginning of every show on the series starts, and it's the intro, you know, whatever is going to happen during that episode. And they give you about 5 minutes, and then it's, and then that Cobra Kai font comes up, you know, and it's like, and it's like that music's like, the Cobra Kai comes up.
With usually some heavy metal music
yeah.
to start you off the show.
So, yeah, so it's really cool how they do bring it back and flip the script in a sense. So now, you know, Daniel's like, and anyone who hasn't watched this, I mean, this episode is full of like,
spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. So, or maybe it will just make you want to watch it after, but you should watch it if you haven't watched it. Like at first, like I was thinking like, okay, Daniel, he's like some rich douche now. Like that's kind of how he comes off. Like this arrogant douche drinking his espresso from his own espresso machine in the morning. He has this like big, nice house in Encino, and you know, he's got his car dealership.
I mean, they really did do that. And he was kind of a little bit of a douche. I mean, he really was.
Yeah.
And you know, Johnny just never got out of the 80s.
Yeah.
He just,
I think that, so with me and Johnny's character in the series, it's like, has he been in hibernation or like in a coma for years and all of a sudden he woke up? Because like, there's so many things where it's like, he doesn't know what a smartphone is. He doesn't know what Facebook is. Like there's like all these things where, you know, there are some people I'm sure our generation that don't really keep up with a lot of the technology. I mean, I'm, you know, not very savvy, but I feel like I know enough. But it's like, he's really like he was in a coma and woke up, because, you know, like with the kids, they bring up these things and he's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, even when, no, I can't. Even when he got a computer and was trying to do the internet and couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
He's like, I pressed all the buttons on the computer and the internet does not work. I cannot find it. Where is it on my computer?
Yeah. And then he's got, you know, thank goodness he's got the young protege that's like helping him out. And he's like, well, you got to do a website and you got to do advertising and, you know, stuff like that. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, I know.
And like, I think this goes through the subtext of a lot of the writing in here. Johnny's character has a drinking problem.
Yeah.
And they start to show of him waking up drunk.
Yes.
Half the episodes start up of him waking up of a hangover binge. And so in a way, he kind of has been in a coma since high school.
That's true. That's a good point. Cause yeah, he's definitely an alcoholic. He's always coping and self-medicating and throughout this series, whenever right. the tough happens, he's your typical go to the bottle to fix it.
And throughout the series, and I really like the original series was definitely Daniel's story.
Yes.
This series, as much as all the other characters in it, is kind of Johnny's story.
Right.
And the other characters, as much as they get Valve and even Daniel's character in the new one, are kind of all atmosphere to his story. So it's almost like a redemption story for him.
Right.
Or him waking up and realizing that my life is horrible.
Right.
I have not done anything in 30 years. I am not in a good place. And throughout the film, he kind of wakes up.
Yeah.
And then you're right. Alcoholism is it. He wakes up, something happens. He can't handle it. He doesn't want to face it. He wakes up the next episode in a drunken stupor.
Right.
Because that's what he goes out and does.
Yeah. And like I said on my Insta stories is, you know, I felt like a goody two shoes because I was like, they show a lot of drunk driving in this.
Yeah, they did. And I don't know, because the writing is really, really well. So I don't think anything's done by accident. But yeah. In the 80s, people drink and drive.
Yeah.
Drunk and drive a lot. Unfortunately, it was a lot more than people want to admit.
Right. And because he was in a coma. Yeah. So I hope that Johnny gets sober even because his ex ends up going to rehab during this, which, you know, we'll bring up his kid's mom. So all the characters. So we have like your characters that, you know, we'll go into, and we have the LaRussos. So everyone has the same age children. So now everyone is adults, middle age, and then now all their kids are the same age and they all go to high school together, kind of. So, so we have the LaRussos and they have their daughter, Sam, and then, you know, Johnny, and he has a son, but he's like not a good dad. And then his son's mom, the baby mama, she's like your typical single mom, but looking for a new guy, just going out and partying and drunk and trying to.
And as much as Johnny's alcoholism is a lot of American alcoholism, it's subtext. People would look at him and not go like, oh, this guy's an alcoholic.
Right.
He works his job. He comes home. He drinks to cope. He goes out and does his job, a functional alcoholic.
Right, right.
Robbie's mom is a full-on drug addict.
Yes.
Alcoholic, always looking for the next guy.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, she's your typical, like, probably needs to be on something in order to live throughout the day.
For function. Yeah. And yeah, so I guess we just talk about his son to do that. You know, it seemed like they got married. Probably alcoholism a little bit in their relationship.
Right.
I'm guessing on that.
They're like together in a drunken stupor.
I've had relationships like that. So I can see how that is.
You're like drunk the whole time and then someone gets sober. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. No, I don't. During my life, there's a few times where I spent a little too much time in bars and you meet that bar person, what you really like, and you have great times until you realize that, wait, we have nothing in common. Except drinking.
Right. And drunken sex.
Right. Yeah. I think a lot of people can relate with that.
And then we have Miguel, who is like Johnny in the originals, because then he comes.
He's more like Daniel.
Oh, yeah. Like Daniel, I mean. He comes to town new.
And yeah, that's how you introduce him.
Right.
He's coming in, meeting Johnny because they live in that same apartment.
Uh-huh.
And like, hey, I just moved into town. My mom got a new job.
Totally like the opposite. Like you said, they're paralleling these.
Right. They're paralleling it and.
But flipping it, because now it's Johnny who's kind of is Mr. Miyagi in a sense. But
well, we could.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go into that. So Miguel comes to town and it's like, oh, this is Daniel's character.
Yeah.
Then Miguel's out at the Quickie Mart, or, you know, the little convenience store down the street, and he's getting some Pepto-Bismol for his grandma because he's, and
he gets bullied
and
by
he gets
four.
Out and four kids from his high school because he rats him out. They try to buy alcohol and he's like, oh yeah, we go to school together. Uh-huh. And the guy's like, well, they're in high school. It doesn't sell them alcohol. So they're ticked off and they start beating on him.
Uh-huh. And then Johnny comes in and uses his karate as a four-on-one beat up. Yeah.
Beat up. But he doesn't actually, kind of does it reluctant. He sits and watches it. He's eating a pizza.
Yeah.
He's drunk in front of this Quickie Mart. And he doesn't do anything until somebody falls on his car.
Oh, which that's right. It's a 1980 yeah.
Firebird, Pontiac Firebird.
I want to say it's the same car he has had since, like, they show it like he's had it since high school.
Right. It is. It's that same car, which is just beautiful. It's not in great condition, but he loves his car. He got his Firebird. Did it have T-tops? I might have. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
If it had T-tops or not, I just remember those type of cars with the T-tops. Yeah. If somebody doesn't know what a T-top is, look it up. It is,
yeah, you're right.
So and they fall against the car and he's like, oh,
now you've gone too far.
Don't touch my car.
Yeah.
And he gets in and they're like, hey, you're just an old man. Leave us alone. And then he beats up the four kids. And like what happens in the real world when you beat up four kids, he goes to jail.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's not like Mr. Miyagi who beats up a bunch of kids. And it shows one with like a broken arm and nobody mentions that he just beat up.
In the 80s, you can beat up four minors and not go to jail.
Right.
In the 2000s, well, I don't even know. It's not the aughts anymore. I don't even know what we would be considering this right now. But yeah, it's like, no way. You just breathe on someone the wrong way.
And you're going to go.
Yeah, that's true. That's another thing that I like how they brought this series is that because in the Karate Kid, it's in the 80s, you know, and there's a lot of stuff you can get away with back then. And then now it's this time era and they really keep to what it is like and the kids are all vocal and like, you can't do that. You can't say that. And, you know, and Johnny, like I said, seems like he was in a coma and he just woke up and he's still like this. You can't be pussies. And you can't like the way that he talks to them and all that stuff. And they're like, huh?
What?
you can't say that.
Really? They do a lot with that in that, even when the first girl comes into the dojo and he's like, you can't be in here. Yeah. This is only guys
right.
can do karate.
Girls can't be here.
Right.
And she's like, why? Yeah. And then Miguel has to be like, no, you can't not accept girls because that's discrimination. So yeah. So it's like, he doesn't even, it's like, yeah, he's just been living under a rock. I don't know. So there's some things where, but that has to do with the alcoholism too, because he doesn't really get it, you know?
Right. He literally has. I mean, he worked and he went home and drank and watched 80s movies like Iron Eagle over and over.
Yeah,
and then movie
that's what
he
the
watches
movie
Iron
that,
Eagle.
Yeah, I was wondering what movie that was because, yeah, they show him watching the same film over and over. So, yeah, so they did a good job with the characters. And then they always, you know, the way that they did a good job is that they make them all complicated. So, like we said, with Johnny, with his alcoholism, Miguel, he's, you know, brand new to the area. And then he doesn't have friends yet. And then he got beat up. And he's such a good kid at heart. And he, you know, then he ends up making friends with the nerds and yeah. And so they have like all these good, complicated characters, you know, and then Danny is now very successful and rich and has the perfect family and the perfect home and all that stuff. But he's still complicated because he's stuck in this rivalry that he had with, like, he can't get past the high school thing.
Even though how successful he was in his life, it is still like that football player. It was a football star in high school and never did
peak after high school.
Peak really after. Yeah. Even though he runs a car dealership and he's happily married, he has a beautiful house, he has a daughter.
They have a son too, which is
they have a son,
which is kind of like he's this the afterthought.
Right. And a son is kind of a pain in the butt.
Like your typical Gen Zer.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we could get into how that whole rivalry redones when
right.
Johnny's car gets run into.
Yeah, so then how they parallel everything, or you know, it's right. kind
and
of like
and then it happened to be his daughter.
Yeah,
which what the parents find out later, but his car gets towed. Or where does it get towed to?
Larissa Otto.
And so he has to go in there, and that's when you first meet Daniel in the story, and he's kind of he's an asshole to him.
Yeah, he's like really totally got that. Oh, so this is where you are now, and this is it's your typical like high school reunion shit. Like, you know, what are you doing now? Oh, I'm so successful and you're not.
And his buddies who are typical salesmen, these alpha males are like, oh, this is the guy you kicked the ass out of.
Yeah. Right. And so, you know, and then Johnny is already down on his luck and he's got nothing and he lives in the show apartment that and his car is probably the only asset and like the only thing that he probably has that he loves the most. And it's now it has to, you know, be fixed by his arch enemy who they both can't just get past their high school thing. It's right. so crazy.
And at that point, Johnny's pretty doesn't want to face anything because that's a yeah. big part of his life. He doesn't. So he's just awkward during that whole situation. It's like, I just want to leave. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to deal with you. I want to get my car fixed someplace else.
Right. And then to like make it worse, that's when Daniel's like, you know, it's on me. Like right. they'll just, it's on the house for him to get his car fixed. And that's just like the whole pride and the, you know, all that right. stuff and that goes into that.
Daniel doesn't do a lot of this stuff on purpose. It is just that typically he's a salesman. He has that alpha personality yeah. at this point.
Uh-huh.
Unlike in the first movie where he had no alpha personality.
Right, yeah.
And he's like, oh, I could just do this. And that's why he ended up fixing the car because he's like, he looks at it and goes, oh, the fix is going to take way more worth the car. The car's right. not worth as much.
Yeah. And yeah. And I mean, and it's, then also it's like, he's kind of, it's weird because it's like, he's still kind of a nice guy, which the second season kind of brings that back out of him. You know, towards the end of the first season, bringing into the second season, then he kind of goes more into the Mr. Miyagi mode. But yeah, for sure. The whole, I would say more than half of the first season, you're just like, wow, he really turned into this rich douche.
I agree. And now we did talk about this a little bit off air before the podcast or whatever of our views changing. Now yes. we sat and watched Cobra Kai and binged it.
Yes.
And then we talked about doing the podcast like, well, we haven't seen Karate Kid in 15, 20 mm-hmm. years or however long it's been.
I definitely haven't seen it since the 90s. Yeah.
And we're like, well, if we're going to do this, we need to watch the original. So we watched the original one. And then I rewatched Cobra Kai,
mm-hmm,
and it
too.
Did change my viewpoint of the film.
Yeah.
It is. Johnny was a real asshole. And in the beginning film, it wasn't that he was a horrible asshole in it. He was the alpha character
right.
in the first one. All his fights were multiple people.
That's
he
true.
Did not just take Daniel on like one-on-one.
Yeah, that's true.
It was
Mom,
him
yeah,
and his
like
four
gang
other
uh-huh.
buddies who were all trained competitively in karate.
Right.
Beating the hell out of this kid.
That weighs like 110 pounds wet.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, in the film, they're like, you know, he's going to die. Like pretty much they're like every time threatening him that he's going to die. Like they're just like, we're going to kill you.
And I think that was a little bit more typical in the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, it is now I, I don't see it in our culture anymore.
Well, now people just shoot each other. Right. No one gets in fist fight.
But you're not even, I don't have kids in high school, but right. I just don't hear people I know.
Kids
getting in, because people get suspended. You get in a fight in high school, you're gone.
Yeah, that's true.
When I went to high school, and maybe where I went to high school, there was fights all the time in high school.
I love watching fights in high school. Oh my God. Like whenever there was, it was like one person would just have to announce fight. And you know, everyone's like running to go watch it. You're just like watching.
Yeah. You might get in trouble if you fought in the school. So what did everybody do? They just went out to the parking lot. I'm like,
meet me in the parking lot.
We're off school grounds. Now we're going to beat each other up.
After school, we're going to meet at the park.
Right, or just literally half the fights I went in high school, just literally on the other side of school grounds.
It was.
It's like you went as close to school grounds as you want. And yeah, there should have been adults around as an adult going, why was it no teachers? Because
we were all latchkey kids in the 80s, so there's no adults.
And even there had to be adults in the school who had seen the fights.
There were,
And nobody really did much about it. I mean, if it was, the teachers have to play. It was a different time and age.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that was not that uncommonplace in the 80s.
That's parents true.
We didn't have elevator parents. There was adults around.
Right.
They just didn't seem like they really cared what kids were doing at any time.
Right.
It's like, not my responsibility.
That's true. And so then, that's a good point to bring into, you know, the series, because there is a part where one of the dorks that comes to Cobra Kai, because Johnny is the sensei now, and he starts Cobra Kai, and is it Eli? No, that's Hawk, right? He eventually,
It's
Dimitri, is that his name?
Think so.
Yeah. Dimitri joins last, and he's like the ultimate comic nerd. Like, you know, the awkward talking too much, type of nerd. And he goes and he's like, well, this isn't okay or whatever. And Johnny ends up doing something on him, and doesn't he give him like a bloody lip or
all that. Happens later on.
Okay. But then he ends up flips.
He's like, shows him in his example of like, he's like, you can't touch me. And he's like, here, try to hit me. And move and then flips him. Cause
we're paying you. So we don't have like pretty much like we're paying you to learn karate. So you can't do this or whatever. And then he ends up giving him a bad Yelp review. Right. And so it's like so different nowadays. And also he's like threatening to sue because he got beat up. So it's like so different, the karate kid compared to,
to be able to do that.
And everything.
He is that typical textbook kind of nerd person who's like, I'm going in to do a physical sport, but I don't want any physical activity.
Right.
And he even said that to his friends when they're going in. It's like, you mean I got to pay to do another gym class?
Yeah.
I don't like gym class the way it is. Why would I pay to do another one?
Yeah. So they really did a good job with all of these characters. I think nowadays in most series that you have to have these complicated characters. Each and every individual has to have some sort of complexity, because otherwise it's not going to keep you, you know, invested in them, I think. Because you have to have all these feelings towards people, or else, you're just not going to like
really
it.
Really good job of character building.
Yes.
And the writing is what really good, that there is a lot of subtlety in the character building, and you really get to know these characters.
Yeah.
Like Eli, who has a cleft lip.
Uh-huh, he has the scar.
With a bad surgery. And the scar is pretty
predominant.
Predominant and is being teased about it. To Johnny and his awkward wisdom kind of helped him out.
Right.
Because he comes in and he's like, oh, lip. And he's like, don't call me that. And
he
barely speaks. And he's like, you know what? People are going to bug you about this your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do something, and it's like, flip the script on them.
Yeah.
And then a couple episodes later, he comes in with his big mohawk.
Blue mohawk. Right.
And
a tattoo. Well, he doesn't have the tattoo until after, because then with the mohawk, then that's when Johnny decides to give him his new nickname is Hawk.
Right.
And then he goes and gets the hawk tattoo.
But he went to this, you know, this guy who's being beat up with in high school. And I like what they did with the bullies with that too in high school.
Yeah.
I know we're jumping all over the place.
Right.
But Miguel, Hawk, or Eli, mm-hmm. and still can't remember.
Dimitri.
Yeah. Are all together. And the original guys who have beat up Miguel confront him again in high school. Mm-hmm. They kind of do him, and they were...
Like, they beat him up a few times.
Right. They beat him up through. But after Miguel learns karate, gets proficient at it, he...
Shows the bullies.
He does the bullies.
Yeah.
And he does all four bullies, and he beats them up during lunch. And that's kind of how the Cobra Kai got popular again, because all the other kids seeing it, it's like, oh, we want to do this. But the bullies for the rest of the episodes, the major bully will not be in the same room as Miguel.
Yeah, that's true.
Miguel will come in and hear, see Miguel, and hear, walk the other way or hide. And Miguel never confronts the guy again.
Yeah.
He never goes after him. He never confronts him. But this guy was terrorizing him. But once he stood up to the bully and showed that he had power, that guy was terrified of him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I really, I do like how they made it, you know, similar, because it's obviously very similar to the original Karate Kid, when Miguel is pretty much Daniel in a sense. And so then they bring in eventually Johnny's son, who is then gets taken in by the Russos, because Johnny is one of those horrible dads. And not, like, absent in the kid's life and the kids.
Like, it seemed like the mother didn't want Johnny around.
Yeah.
There's at some point in the film where it says that, where she mentions, like, hey, just get out, when the kid was really young.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, and never made any effort to try to rebuild a relationship.
But then, like, the kid is a troublemaker, and the school will still call Johnny because he's the dad. And so he tries to be a parent in some ways, but the kid's like, well, fuck you. You've never been part of my life. So now you're trying. And so how they make the conflict of that is that then he's like, well, you know what? I'm going to go work at my dad's worst enemy's, you know, place of business. And he gets a job at LaRusso Auto. And then it just kind of goes from there, where he ends up being a good employee. And he starts turning his life around, and then he runs into... So then it's almost like... Because then Daniel wants to start doing karate again. And then the kid, you know, has to bring some paperwork to his house. And he... So it's like that moment in the movie where Mr. Miyagi's doing something, and then the kid walks in on him.
And at that point, Daniel was looking for a sparring partner.
Right.
His daughter used to be really into it, but she's a teenager and doesn't want to do karate with her dad at that time. And he comes in lost, looking for a father figure. Daniel is looking for somebody to teach, because that is what he wants to do.
Right.
And it's like, oh, we could teach you.
Yeah. So then they end up taking the kid in, originally, you know, not knowing that he's Johnny's son, and they do turn his life around. Like,
he does that really big arc where he was stealing, he dropped out of school,
and then he just starts to become a good kid. And then you got Miguel, who is, you know, he started out, he does have a good heart through the whole thing, and he does know, you know, step up and say, Sensei, I don't think we should do this. But he starts to turn a little more towards the evil side, where you like at first you're like, yay, yay, Miguel, yes. But then like once Robbie gets in the picture and turns his, and then like they kind of make it, that whole switcheroo. And then you're like, who do I really like now? Because now he's turning this kid this way and this kid's starting to go the good direction and the douche is turning into a better mentor. And then now Johnny's kind of, it's like, yeah, it gives you this whole roller coaster of stuff, feelings, I guess.
Right. It is really good writing. Can't say that enough. It has a lot of complex to it.
If
people watch it, even if they didn't like it the first time, if you really watch how complex these characters are,
right.
There's no, like in real life, nobody's ultimately good. Nobody's mm-hmm. ultimately bad. Everybody has a lot of these grays.
Yeah.
That's what happened to Miguel. I mean, he did it. And of course, it's Danny's daughter who is the major conflict of that.
Because
her and Miguel were dating a little bit.
Yeah.
Him through taking the karate and these teachings. So Johnny got taught, like Miyagi says in the first films, there's no such thing as bad students. There is bad teachers.
Right.
So Johnny trying to do this karate, even though in his heart he's trying to do the right thing for a lot of these kids, because mm-hmm. a lot of the kids who are coming to him are kids that are being picked on and bullied and kids who have no self-esteem. And he's giving them that, which is a good thing. But he's teaching them the same lessons he was taught. What we learned during the first films were bad lessons.
Right.
And Miguel being in these is learning these bad lessons. And you could see how those lessons start affecting Miguel throughout the film, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, you got to strike first. No mercy. You know,
and
don't give him a chance.
No mercy is always kind of, they do say it a lot, you know, show him no mercy. And so then that's when you, us as adults, are like, oh man, they're teaching these kids. Yeah, it's definitely, you could see, and it's like everyday life, like regular life, where we don't realize kids are so easily influenced and by bad teachers in a sense. And, and so then you see how, Daniel starts teaching Robbie the Miyagi way of the karate's for defense only, and you don't go from your gut, you go from your brain and your heart. So it's like you get the same type of villain stuff from the original, but then because all the characters are so human in a sense, like so relatable in everyday life, that you have these ups and downs with all of them, I feel like.
Right. So. I agree with Miguel. Miguel, throughout most of the series, give or take, because you're right, he goes through his peaks and back, is almost the compass of the film of, and mostly for Johnny. He is mm-hmm. Johnny's compass of, hey, this is right and this is wrong.
Right. He's kind of the devil on Johnny's shoulder, the devil and angel.
Right.
Yeah.
And he definitely, throughout the series, is the one who usually points things out to Johnny that Johnny's just not seeing.
Right.
Johnny's kind of, not only in technology and his whole life, he's oblivious to most
social
of the world.
Social cues, yeah.
Yeah, and social cues, or oblivious to how he is. And it is that change of characters. You got to see that Johnny didn't have a good, I mean, in the first film, he was the rich kid mm-hmm. who had all the toys, but not that he had no relationship with his stepdad.
Yeah.
The only thing he got from his stepdad was money mm-hmm. and nothing else, mm-hmm. that he didn't have a good childhood. That, and he learned lessons from a teacher that were not healthy lessons.
Right.
And he held them on through his life.
Yeah.
And it kind of destroyed his life.
Yeah. Yes. And that's another part of the writing in this, is that they take that, you know, to where you see where, I mean, in the film and Karate Kid, they don't go into Johnny's childhood or anything like that. So we just think he's some rich kid, some rich asshole that beats up, you know, Daniel. But in the series, they go into his past and how he's just this lonely child who has no father figure, and his mom is with the stepdad, obviously for security for her son and herself. and the stepdad's a dick. And so, yeah, so then it's like he gets easily influenced from Kreese because now that's like his father figure. And then in the series, he becomes like a father figure to Miguel. But Miguel is making him grow as well in a more positive direction with a lot of the things that he's with his insight, like you said, like a moral compass in a sense. And, so it's just interesting because it's like, you get these whole, like you see, and then you're like, oh, he's such a good role model for Miguel in certain ways, but then yet he can't even be a dad to his son.
Right. And there's one of the things on that. So after Miguel beat up the bullies, he goes back to the dojo and is like, hey, I did this. Yeah. And Johnny's like, yes, this is what I wanted to do. You stood up for yourself. You beat up the bullies. I got something for you.
Right.
So he goes back in and he gives,
gives him his original gi.
Right.
Yeah.
In that scene when he's by the car, giving him the gi and kind of hugs Miguel, is the same time that Robbie, who's thinking he's going to
go make amends
with his dad, walks up. And I didn't notice it the first time I watched it, but the second time I watched it, it's like you notice him walk up, look at it, and go, oh shit, I've been replaced, and walks away.
Yeah. And that just fuels his whole... So he's like also trying to be vengeful towards his father then by joining the LaRussos in a sense too. So it's like, so they really do good with the writing of all the complexities of.
Yeah. Almost all characters can be, as being Johnny and Daniel, the peak of the whole Karate Kid. Well, at least the first one.
Yeah.
I actually watched all three Karate Kid movies and Johnny's only in the first one. Oh, so he never comes back to any of the other ones.
Okay. Yeah.
Cobra Kai does, but the, Kreese, who is definitely the bad guy.
Right. And he continues to be the bad guy.
Right. Yeah. And that almost all of, like, Miguel has a little bit of Daniel in him and a little bit of Johnny in him.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of has that. But there's the one thing that frustrated me this whole show watching it. And I think it's a problem what people have. The whole writing and everything is about conflict of people not communicating with each other.
That's true.
If any of these characters sat down and actually had a conversation, all the conflict would win. But these people have past experiences with these characters, like Daniel and Johnny. They have so much in common.
Yeah.
They like so much that they should be best friends.
That's true.
But
because they have too much pride.
They have the history, which wasn't good, and they assume what the other character's thinking throughout the same episode without actually asking the other person what they're thinking.
Yeah, they do that.
All the conflict in the two series, what they have with each other is miscommunication of them assuming they know what the other person is thinking.
You totally hit the nail on the head, V. I wish I had a sound bite like a hammer. That is so true. That is like...
And it goes on with the students because then the students start... Because their conflict leads into their students and their students have conflict because of the parents' conflict.
That's so true.
So many people, we're going to get in a room. We're going to all sit in a circle.
Right?
We're going to all talk with each other. Now, there's some extremes. Kreese is an extreme.
Mm-hmm.
There is no talking it out with Kreese.
Right.
Kreese is a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
He
won't.
He's not going to change. Yeah. He's manipulative.
Uh-huh.
And he continues on because he comes back in the second season and he...
I actually really love the direction they took with him where they kept him as the villain. And then, you know, because in the original it's like he's the, you know, the sensei, and they have the photo of him at the army or whatever he was in Vietnam War. And then like, he's this war guy and, you know, obviously got the PTSD thing and all that stuff. But then like when they bring him back, you still think, and he makes himself appear that he like went and trained SEALs, and he has this whole story, made up story, until we find out that he has been living in a homeless shelter.
Right. With like a VA kind of.
Yeah. And so that's how Johnny kind of lets him back in his life, because then he feels bad for him. Because originally when they bring him in, you know, Johnny still got all that shit. Like, no, you tried to kill me. You broke the trophy. You did this. You ruined my life, you know, all that stuff. But then he has that, what is that called? The Stockholm syndrome. Or, right. You know, like, because
is how bad Kreese was. And I guess it is. And it, I think it goes back to the really complex of the writing is Kreese is an abusive person, and yes, people who are in abusive relationships and keep running back into this relationship.
That's exactly what it is. Yes.
And
damn, Pete, you are hitting some nails in the...
Kreese is... It was an abusive relationship. But it's the only person who showed Johnny any love in his life.
That's true. That and is so true. Johnny's like your typical abuse.
And Johnny's like, oh, here's this person. And Kreese is like, oh, here, I fixed your trophy I broke. I've changed. I am not going to do that again. And it's like, Johnny's like, oh, yay, because this is what I want.
Right. And then it's just total manipulation all over again.
And then it is. It really is. And it goes throughout the series that Kreese doesn't do stuff on accident.
Yeah.
He is a very manipulative person.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a good guy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like they really, I read an interview on him about coming back as Kreese, and he definitely was written in to still continuously be the villain.
Right. So, and then you have definitely Hawk ends up following that character because Hawk ends up going...
He's from one extreme to the next.
Right.
Yeah.
He went from being this geek, what didn't think he would ever get a girlfriend, mm-hmm. who had his cleft lip and, you know, was always picked on, to be super aggressive and get the mohawk and get this hot girl.
Yeah.
But got to the point that he was so aggressive that she's like, you're an asshole. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hang out with you anymore. Right. And he definitely went to that extreme that he is kind of the Kreese's minion now.
Uh-huh. And also he starts to be like, he doesn't want anyone to know of his past, of that he was this geek and hung out with Dimitri. You know, like, you know, like how they, you know, D&D type of deal. Like he's now Hawk. He's got, you know, new name, new look, new everything. And so, it's just the characters. It's just, they really do good with these characters, the complications and everything. I am just really, I really, really, really like it.
I'm impressed too. And the things like parallels, I like, now I watch all three films and it's the third film. I forgot there was a third film. And I was talking to other people and they're like, oh, the third one's the one with the girl. I'm like, no, that's actually the fourth one in the series, which I didn't watch, which is the next Karate Kid.
Oh, is that the one with Hilary Swank?
I think so, okay. Yeah. And Daniel has a different girl in every film.
He's a player.
The second one was not the greatest. They go to Okinawa. They get a lot of history. But the little toy bang thing, what he picks up.
Okay.
And that's when he opens up the dojo and they have the two banners. And he's like the first.
Okay, so that's from all from the second one. Okay.
And then the third one's when he made the flashback of him joining Cobra Kai.
Oh.
And now all the three films take place within like a year period of time. So okay. The third one, he's graduated from high school. His mom moves away because okay. She's not in the second or the third one.
Okay.
He is staying with Miyagi.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to go back and get his trophy. He wants to defend his trophy.
Okay.
And Miyagi's like, that's not what I teach. We're not in for this competition uh-huh. thing. This is not what I teach. And, you know, and so he ends up joining Cobra Kai to get so he can go compete again.
And is Kreese the
Kreese
sensei?
Is not.
Okay.
Kreese is on, he's involved in that whole film.
Okay.
But Kreese ends up getting one of his former students is like a martial arts expert now. And he's the one who ends up training Daniel while Kreese is in the background. And it's this whole big, okay. you know, trick Daniel into it.
Okay.
And that's where they have.
So how they correlate that Karate Kid 3 with the series?
I think with the rival between that's why he hates Cobra Kai so much and why
okay.
Cobra Kai is actually banned from competition is because of the third one.
Oh, okay.
And they mention Miyagi's little trees because that's the business they tried. And his wife says something like, oh, the bonsai thing. He's like, I tried that once. It didn't work.
Yeah.
And that all is from the third one.
Oh, see, I'm glad that you...
But
you know this because I didn't watch the second or third one, so I didn't even know.
I just binged. It's like they're all available. I did it. Unfortunately, the third movie, nobody remembers it because it is a very unrememberable film.
Pete did you a solid here because he really... I told him this week, like, we got to do some homework, mm-hmm. and he really did his homework because... I failed. I didn't watch Karate Kid 2 or 3, but...
I don't think it's a bad thing. But I did. I was, for the series, I was really surprised how much... Because they show a lot of flashbacks from the first film.
Yeah.
And they show one or two flashbacks from the other film, but most of flashbacks are from the first film. And a lot of flashbacks are Johnny with PTSD of him getting
right?
beat from the... From the original Karate Kid.
Uh-huh.
That's where his life all went to hell.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just that the other films, I was really surprised how little subtle things they did from the other films throughout it. Of a hint, a wink and a nod to these other films throughout the whole
That's
series.
Cool. That's really cool how they did that then. So I'm going to read some listener feedback, that we had. And so some people said super cheesy and funny, very unrealistic too, but somehow very entertaining. Watched it in 2.5 days. It is, however, overhyped. The other ones is, I love seeing the other side, how Johnny thought Daniel was the one that ruined everything and not in a selfish, I deserve everything kind of way. So yeah, because you know, in the series, he kind of is explaining like, well, this kid comes and takes my girl. And then he, you know, throws water on me in the Halloween dance, you know, like you kind of get that whole thing. And then, but then once you rewatch Karate Kid, you're like, no, you deserve it, dude. So one listener said, my wife and I loved it. It's corny, cheesy, and predictable. Is it corny, cheesy, and predictable? Absolutely. The combination of a well-told story and nostalgia is what drew us in. Everyone our age remembers watching The Karate Kid and then having karate tournaments in their front yards. I had glow wrestling tournaments in my front yard. I was a glow fan. But I guess the guys did something else. As far as the characters, there's one that said that their favorite character was Robbie because he had such a shitty life and did well in spite of that. And they thought it was nice that the LaRussos took him in, but was sad when Robbie showed Miguel no mercy in the finale of season 2 and thought that the changes in Johnny were significant from the beginning to end of the series and went from really disliking him in the beginning to believing that he wants a fair competition for his dojo that he worked so hard to build.
I do have to say that with the Johnny character. Yeah. And that's why I do think this series, or even though when you watch them, there's all these other characters, the whole series to me seems like a redemption story for Johnny.
Right, right.
It is, Cobra Kai is Johnny's story for the most part.
For sure.
And he does try. When Miguel calls him out on things like, oh, you can't use that terminology anymore, or you can't do that, or even the no mercy after they had after the final in the first series, and he realizes what he was taught, how it affected his students negatively.
Right.
He's like, oh shit, what did I do?
Yeah.
I messed up.
Uh-huh. He created a monster.
And then I like how he redeems that. Like, he goes back in. It's like, I'm creating you to be badass.
Right.
Not to be cheaters.
Yeah, exactly. And then, one of the bad reviews was the writers are being sarcastic and purposely writing every line cheesy because they're making fun of it. So...
It was the 80s.
Yeah.
It is a film.
So they kept it to, like we said. What the
80s was. Yeah. And that's all I could say. And that's why I wonder what the series is for younger people. I haven't talked to somebody.
Yeah, I haven't heard of any young. One of my friends
watched it and didn't care for it.
Right.
I mean, just really didn't have any interest in it. It didn't hold anything.
I feel like most of the huge fans of it are our age.
Yeah, because it is. But the 80s were cheery. The 80s, and I mean, there's scary things happening now and everything in the world. But I just remember growing up. I mean, we had an arms race, but it's hard to explain the arms race, what happened during the 80s.
Yeah.
It really is when all the films were about it. And you had a lot of this tension in society.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know there might be a nuclear bomb tomorrow. And that is a lot. With that in the 80s, what I think people kind of gloss over. It wasn't this happy, fun time, but the films were that way.
Right.
Because society wasn't that necessarily great in the 80s. That I think they overcompensated with the films in the 80s of the films being purposely campy and purposely not addressing any real issues, or if they do address an issue, it is overboard, like Wolverines.
Right.
Like, we could take on the Russians. Yeah. We're a bunch of 16-year-old kids. We can win back America. But all the films were so over the top that way.
That's true.
That I think that's what that series does. And it is campy and things. Mm-hmm. I think there is a lot of depth to the characters if you really look at it, but you have to get past some of the cheesy writing and some of the exaggeration.
Mm-hmm.
They exaggerate things.
Yeah.
They exaggerate Johnny's ineptness to the internet.
Right.
When he's like, post that up, hash brown it.
Oh yeah. He's like www period Cobra Kai period com all lowercase.
Right. You know, that one. Send that to the internet and hash brown it. I want hash brown Cobra Kai kicks ass, you know?
And so the last comment that I got from a listener is, it's a little Shakespearean where the LaRussos are the Capulets with their daughter Sam and Miguel is the Montagues as Romeo, which kind of does tie that in a little bit.
I think it is. That same story over.
Right. And so then, since we are a music podcast originally, I did bring up all of the songs that, were relatable to us. They're, you know, of course, the soundtrack to this series is like crazy because they put everything in there, but they really kept it to the 80s hair metal. And Johnny is still stuck in that. You know, I mean, we all are guilty of whatever we listen to as teens. I think we still listen to into our older ages. And so, you know, the absolute first episode on the first season is they started off with Poison's Nothing But a Good Time, and he's driving through LA, you know, Reseda in his Firebird. And then they have Oh, with Rat, they have, because then he's telling Miguel he needs to start listening to better music. Because I think there was one point where Miguel had some music on and it was whatever the kids listen to nowadays. And he's like, you need to listen to whatever. So then he starts listening to heavy rock, and then he changes his ringtone for his mom to Round and Round from Rat. And which they make that from reference.
Fallbrook.
Rat is?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And one of them, at one of the music traders, one of the members of Rat works at in town. He's part of that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, and so then they have the Twisted Sister, We're Not Going to Take It. That's when they went to that junkyard, and he's training them. Oh, and then they have R.O. Speedwagon in this a couple times, but the one that really, like, is when they're doing the test drive. And then Danny and Johnny, you think they're going to become friends now, because this is like a Tommy Boy moment where they start singing to R.O. Right, Speedwagon.
Where they kind of like, Johnny's like, you like
yeah, the way? You like Speedwagon? Yeah. And then they go,
like, what man does it?
Right. You know? And then they go and do like their whole, like, oh, they stop at Daniel's old apartment building, and then they go get drinks together. So you think that now they're going to, because of that song in the car singing together, that they have this bonding moment, and now they're going to finally have their friendship, which they end up not. But yeah. Because
of miscommunication again.
Exactly. And then the Here I Go Again from Whitesnake, they had that. They had Dance Hall Days from Wang Chung and OMD, If You Leave. And oh, and so, and then they also played Cruel Summer from Bananarama, and they play that in the first Karate Kid as well.
Okay.
So they kind of bring that in together. And then they have the kids have the 80s roller rink night, and the way that everyone's dressed. I love how they did that, because like Daniel's daughter, Sam, and Robbie, they do Pretty in Pink.
Okay.
And like I just love how they bring in all of the 80s references to every part of this series. So season 3 is going to be released in 2021. So we'll have to do another episode when that comes out. And so, so now we're going to bring it back to our original, what we do here at the local Treble Clef. And Pete is going to talk about some of the local bands that we have done shows on. They have some stuff going on during the pandemic for you guys, and just please support them still, buy their merch, all that stuff, because that's how you can support local musicians right now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to just call out. Some merch stuff, which has come up in the last couple months. And the Oathbreakers, what we did an interview with, they have t-shirts available now.
Okay.
And it's from VibeWestLifestyles.com.
Okay, is where you so can it's find not on there. Bandcamp?
You could find them from Bandcamp, and okay. There would be a link to it. Okay. And they were just released a couple weeks ago. They're nice. They have some really nice t-shirts.
We'll have to get some.
They came out with a logo. They have a white and black and white and red.
Okay.
Red font or black font.
Uh-huh.
And then a black shirt with like a multicolor font or a red font. And they've been working on some new music coming out, so they're probably going to have. They had a couple weeks ago put a demo tape up on Instagram.
Oh, good.
And the Riders are working on a new EP, where you can pre-order right now, In One Gulp.
In One Gulp. Yeah, and that's on their Bandcamp, right?
Right.
Okay. And the Riders have a lot of merch. They have a lot of cool merch. If you guys are into like gothy stuff, Pete and I got the t-shirts. He got the black with the pink writing, and I got the hot pink shirt with the black writing. But yeah, the Riders, they are very good with their, I really like how they brand themselves. Yeah. They're good with that. Robert, their lead singer, I think he's like an artist genius. You could just tell when we interviewed him, you can just tell he's got that whole thing going. And then you said someone else had some.
Shane Hall is actually going to be playing at the North Pine Brewery on the 26th of September. Because they were releasing a black gold stout with his image on it.
It
has half of his face. So I thought I would give a little shout out to that.
Oh, awesome. Yay, Shane. And he's going to be performing. Like, you can go and see him live?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
So.
And then Lovots has a lot of merch as well, right?
Lovots has a massive amount of merch. That guy is a merch genius.
Yeah.
Just if go look at the stuff he has for sale, a lot of that he makes is these little rings and.
Yeah, I have one of his necklaces where it's his, it's a guitar pick with his logo on it.
And right. Yeah. He makes a lot, I think I'm pretty sure he makes a lot of that stuff. Uh-huh. And
yeah, he has some real cool stuff.
Yeah, he does definitely has a lot of yeah. cool merch.
And all of these, the Rythers and Shane Hall and Lovots, they're all available to on Spotify. Like you could hear their music on Spotify. So if you guys haven't, you should go listen to that. And then you can buy, you know, just on Bandcamp, there's a lot of people have their sites and stuff. But also on Instagram, they have all of their tags and you can have, they have links in bios that you can go and support these local musicians.
Yeah, they need our help now.
Yeah, we're real big fans of theirs. And this whole podcast is because of them, you know, our local treble clef. So we miss going to shows and we miss talking to these musicians and seeing them. And it's nice because it's a small community. And we, you know, when we're going to one show, we see other people that we've interviewed or went to their shows to support the other musician. So it was really cool. Like when we went to Lovots, that was our last right. show and the Creepy Creeps were there and, you know, yeah. and it was his birthday. It was Lovots' birthday. And yeah, it was just real cool. And he plays a lot with Shane Hall. Like it's just like a small community. I really, really like it. So, well, thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoy it. We just really wanted to talk again on our podcast and kind of bring in, and we both really enjoyed this Cobra Kai. So since a lot of other people have, I just thought it would be a good show to have. And
get back out there, kind of miss the podcasting. It's been a while since we've got
yeah,
to do it.
Yeah. So, and you can follow us on Instagram. And where can they listen to us, Pete?
Oh, you can listen to us on the Archer.fm, Spotify, or iTunes.
Yeah. And go ahead and subscribe and comment. And yeah, please subscribe because then that's going to like really just help us out a lot. So help the local musicians. And all you have to do to help us is just to subscribe and like and follow us on Instagram. And you can also hear us on Anchor.fm. So that is it. And maybe we'll do some clever podcast, I think, just to keep it with the music. Maybe we'll do some other things on just music in general coming up, since now we can kind of hang out again and all that stuff 6 feet apart. All right, we'll see you next time.